Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to his Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Esta noche voy a predicar primero en inglés y después en español. Los que no entienden inglés pueden tomar una breve siesta ahorita. The ancient English, or the old English term for tonight, is called Maundy Thursday. M-A-U-N-D-Y. Maundy Thursday. And the Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum. And those of you who are old enough to remember the Mass when it was celebrated in Latin, on Holy Thursday night, when the priest washed the feet of 12 people, the ritual was called the mandatum, meaning the command. In Spanish, it's mandato, el mandamiento. And at the Last Supper, Jesus gave two commands. Two mandatums. The first is what we just heard in the gospel tonight. Do this. What I have done, you do it. Wash each other's feet. It's a command. The other command we heard in the second reading. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And both of these mandatums, these commands, are interpretations of what will happen tomorrow. The whole Thursday liturgy is an interpretation of what happens on Good Friday. Because the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was the ultimate act of service to his people, as symbolized by the washing of the feet. It was the ultimate act of self-giving that we celebrate in the Eucharist, when he gives us himself to eat and to drink. This evening, we initiate a three-day celebration that we call the Sacred Paschal Triduum. These 3 days celebrate the central events around which the entire Christian life revolves. The Paschal mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection is the core of our faith. And our participation in this mystery through the celebration of baptism and Eucharist defines what it means to be a Christian. Throughout our lives, If we're living the Christian life with integrity, we identify with Christ's death by seeking his power to die to our old self and to constantly rise with him to become the new self that all of us really want to be in our heart of hearts, to become renewed people, ultimately to become divinized. That's the great word that we get from the Eastern Church. The goal of the Christian life is divinization, to become divine. We don't become God. But the more we live in the light of Christ, we take on the mind of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the spirit of Christ. And that's called divinization. That's what it's all about to be a Christian. The church invites us to make these 3 days a time of retreat and spiritual renewal. And I would encourage all of us, abstain from distractions during these 3 days. Try to cut back on texting, internet, unnecessary occupations, and we fast. Tomorrow we fast from food. We only have one meal on Good Friday and no meat. And we can have two smaller meals for health. This is for people who are not yet senior citizens, but if you're in good health and you're a senior, you should do it anyway. So these are ways of making these days different. These days are unique. And so we don't want to do our ordinary routines, all of the eating and drinking and TV and internet and texting. And I would recommend that you try to find some time each day to go to a quiet place, could be in your house, in your garden, in the church, in a park, and bring your Bible and read John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 19. These are the most powerful teachings in the whole New Testament. Chapters 13 through 17 are the teachings that Jesus gave the night before he died. Remarkable, marvelous instructions on how to live a fully Christian life. And then chapters 18 and 19 are the passion of Jesus according to John's Gospel. Tomorrow, like every Good Friday, I'm leaving town. I always leave on Good Friday for a few hours, and I go to a park, and I take my Bible, and I just walk for like 2 hours or so, and I read the Passion according to John, 18 and 19. I would encourage you to do something similar. This evening Mass of the Lord's Supper reminds us in the first reading from Exodus that we are rooted in the Paschal experience of the Jewish people, who in their day were liberated from slavery in Egypt, and they were saved from the destroying angel because they had blood on the doorposts, the blood of the Paschal lamb they put on the doorpost. And so the angel that was killing the firstborn in Egypt passed over those houses. They were kept safe because of the blood. And so that's why this reading is chosen in relationship to the blood of Jesus in the second reading. And again, it's through the blood of Jesus participating in his sacrifice and his victory over sin and death on the cross that we are brought into, we are kept safe from evil and ultimately safe from death. Why did Jesus go to such lengths, so much suffering for our sake? That we might have life, life in abundance. We're invited to turn over our suffering to Jesus, that it might serve as a passageway to new life. When you talk to people who are in recovery from addictions, they will often say, I thank God for my alcoholism. I thank God because the suffering convinced me that I needed a Savior. My suffering led me to turn over my life and my will to the care of God. And many people who have terminal illness, if they hang in there with Jesus during their illness, they find that the illness itself can be a transforming experience. I've had this experience at least 3 or 4 times in my life with my family members who have died, walking with them in their last months of life. We all prayed our way through those last months, and we all were changed for the better by uniting the suffering with the sufferings of Jesus. That's what we celebrate in the Eucharist. We participate in the death of Jesus and are drawn into his life. That's what it means to receive Holy Communion, to be drawn into the life of Jesus by eating his very flesh and blood. And this this body and blood that we receive is not the body and blood of the dead Jesus. It's the body and blood of the risen Christ. So when we celebrate the Eucharist with faith and devotion, we are freed from evil, we're freed from sin, and we begin to taste eternal life even in this world. This is not just theory. This is the experience of many people in the church tonight who have been Christians, been Catholics for many years, and you know what I'm talking about. The deeper you get into this connection with Jesus Christ, you begin to taste eternal life, even in this life. And then, what? We are sent to wash feet, to imitate Christ, who came to serve and not to be served, to break down the walls of hatred and resentment that divide peoples and lead to wars, to serve those who suffer. And as Pope St. John Paul II said, to create a civilization of love. That's what Catholics and all Christians are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be creating a different United States, a different Mexico, a different Europe, a different Africa, creating a civilization of love when we're in touch with the risen Christ. And, of course, that's how Jesus describes what this washing of the feet is all about. After it's over with, he sits down. We didn't read it tonight. It's the next few verses. He says, "As I have loved you, so you should also love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's the acid test for being a Catholic, for being a Christian. Now I'm going to preach in Spanish, not quite as long. And if you don't understand Spanish, you can take a little nap at this point. La antífona de entrada de la misa de la cena del Señor dice lo siguiente. Que nuestro único orgullo sea la cruz de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, porque en Él tenemos la salvación, la vida y la resurrección, y por Él hemos sido salvados y redimidos. ¿Por qué el enfoque en la cruz? Sería más conveniente, ¿no?, enfatizar el lavatorio de los pies y la Eucaristía. Pero el lavatorio de los pies simboliza el sacrificio de Cristo en la cruz. Y la Eucaristía es la representación de la muerte de Jesucristo. Por lo tanto, el lavatorio de los pies y la Eucaristía se refieren a la misma pasión y muerte de Jesucristo y su victoriosa resurrección. Lo llamamos el misterio pascual, en que participamos cuando recibimos su cuerpo y su sangre con fe y devoción. ¿Por qué Jesús sufrió tanto por nosotros? Para que tengamos vida, vida en abundancia. Cuando celebramos la Eucaristía con fe y devoción, participamos en la muerte de Jesús y recibimos perdón y nueva vida. El pan y el vino que recibimos son el cuerpo y la sangre de Cristo resucitado, no muerto. ¿A dónde nos conduce recibir la Santa Comunión dignamente? A lavar los pies, a imitar a Cristo que vino a servir, no a ser servido. Un cristiano maduro hace lo que Jesús hacía: romper las barreras entre pueblos, luchar en contra del odio y construir una civilización de amor. Después de lavar los pies de sus discípulos, Jesús explicó el significado. Ustedes deben amarse unos a otros como yo los he amado. En esto reconocerán todos que son mis discípulos, en que se aman unos a otros.